The lesson is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. And you can find that on page 1154 in the Church Bibles. Gifts of prophecy and tongues. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation, knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Margaret. Try to excel in gifts that build up the church. That's what I want to talk about this morning. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about my hope and vision for the church, that we would be a community in which every member flourishes, and which we would reach out to friends and family and neighbours, as Jill was talking about, such that they might flourish as well. And then last week I looked at the value of worship, and I focused on the glory and grace of God that we can experience when we worship him, as we did this morning in our sung worship, but as we can in our daily lives as we worship him. But the next 2 weeks we're going to be looking at pursue, the value of pursue. And this idea of pursue came partly through a conversation with Jane Holloway about the prayer life of the church and us wanting to pursue God in prayer. And we're going to be looking at that next week. But I suppose the word pursue came from the Tozer book, The Pursuit of God, which may be familiar to some of you. It's a classic. It was written in 1948 at the end of the Second World War. And he quotes, in the first chapter, he quotes Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul follow hard after me. And that psalm starts very similar to that Isaiah passage that Jill read to us. It starts, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The psalmist is speaking about a desperation for God. A desperation for God to break in, to bring change, to replenish a thirsty soul, a broken life. And I've asked you before, and I ask you again, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty this morning for more of what God has for you, for us? And the first paragraph of the first chapter of this book says this: we pursue God because, and only because, he has first put an urge within us that spurs us to the pursuit. The impulse to pursue God originates with God, but the outworking of that impulse is our following hard after him. All the time we are pursuing him, we are already in his hand. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And here's the paradox. God's right hand holds us. We are held in his hand, yet at times he seems distant. At times we are thirsty. We need to pursue him, to pursue him. We can't be passive in this relationship. We need to pursue him. And we believe in an all-present God. We were singing this morning about Jesus is here. He is here by his Spirit. The theological word is omnipresent, all present. God is here. And he's with you tomorrow morning, wherever you are tomorrow morning. He is there. He is with us. And yet we need to press in, to pursue, to remember when we sit down at our desk tomorrow morning, God is here. We pursue him. And you may have well have heard me pray, because I often do. Lord, thank you that you're present with us. Help us to move deeper into your presence. And again, we sang about that in the song this morning, moving deeper into God's presence, knowing him more closely, experiencing his glory that it might be reflected in our world. And the Celtic Christians, I love the Celtic Christians. They were bonkers, but I love them. They do all sorts of crazy things. It's appropriate to be speaking about them on Burns Day night today. It is Burns Day today, isn't it? 25th. So I'll get my hat back on in a minute. It'll be fine. Celtic Christians, they were some of the first to bring the gospel to pagan Britain. Came across from Ireland and came down from the north as well. And there's something, they were very wonderful missionaries. And they would talk about places that were thin places. Places where there was a sense that where it was easier to worship God, where it was easier to sense the presence of God. And you know, I know that people here feel, and certainly at times I feel we are in quite a thin place here, which isn't surprising when there's been 900 years of worship before us. As we seek God here, but that's not to be, he doesn't want to stay here, he's there. And so we seek him to be changed, that we might pursue him, and we might pursue his glory and his grace to change our world. He doesn't want us to be stuck in church. He's not. See, John Wimber used to say, the meeting place, as in church, our meeting place, our gathering place, the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. When we come together, it's about training, it's about replenishing, it's about refreshing for the marketplace, for out there, for the world that Alan prayed about, that is broken, that needs help. Tozer, at the end of each chapter of the book, he has a prayer. And the prayer at the end of the first chapter, I read it and I'm going, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. Does anybody want more of God? Maybe three people. Good, good. I'm painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, so that I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I've wandered so long. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take me up from this misty lowland. Don't let me settle in the misty lowland. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be more thirsty still. Maybe that should be our prayer this morning. I thirst to be more thirsty still. See, here's the thing. God wants to be found. Remember what I said? He pursues us first, but we pursue him. It's the paradox. It's the paradox. He invites us into relationship. He wants to be known in our world. He wants his kingdom to come, and we are emissaries of that kingdom. So how do we experience more of God's glory and his grace? Primarily through the word. Wonderful testimony from Alpha. Someone reading the Bible puts many of us to shame. Christians, are we reading the Bible to that extent? Probably not. But wonderful. Because that's how he speaks to us, through his word. As I was preparing this, some of you know, I think I mentioned, I'm trying to follow the Holy Trinity Brompton Bible readings, Bible in a Year. And yesterday was How to Listen to God, which again felt apt in what I'm saying today. How to listen to God. How do we listen? I want to encourage us to be bold, to be radical, to listen to what he's saying, to be intentional about pursuing God, to not be satisfied until we hear what he has for us as individuals and as a community. Let's not be satisfied. We want to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I don't want to settle for anything less than all that God has for us. And, you know, there's a danger because of apathy, because of pressure, because of things going on in our world. There's a danger that we can become complacent. We can stop thirsting to be thirsty. We can stop wanting more of God. We can settle. It's so easy to settle and say, oh, I've got enough. It's so easy to go, oh, impress me, God. Impress me. It's so easy to go, well, I give you 2 hours on a Sunday, but the rest of the week is mine. It's too easy. It's too easy. I heard this line this week. There's a danger that we've made Jesus our Sunday activity rather than our daily priority. And there's a danger. There's a danger. I just feel this morning, I actually need to really challenge you. I've been here 2 years now. I love you. But I need to push some of you. I need to say, look, you're sitting back. You're not pursuing. You're letting everything else get in the way, and you're not pursuing. You're not saying, God, you're the most important, and I want people to know your love, your grace. I want things to change. And Simon, you know, that sounds a bit heavy, a bit, yes. We got to be serious about our faith. About pressing in, about pursuing. I think it's maybe the whole Cayley thing and the Scottish thing. I'm getting a little bit. I'm going to move into Braveheart in a minute. You can take away my life, but you'll never take away my freedom. Sorry. But you know what C.S. Lewis said? He said, "If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." You know, we're not meant to feel comfortable. We're meant to be on the edge, pushing further. And next week we're going to look at pursuing God in prayer. But briefly, I just want to consider how we pursue God in the prophetic. How we pursue God in the prophetic. In the New Testament, a prophet is a divinely commissioned and inspired person. And a prophet in the Christian church is a person gifted for the exposition of divine truth. Preachers can be prophets as they exposite truth. However, the passage in 1 Corinthians 14 that was read to us is also teaching about the special gift of prophecy. And Paul's saying, encouraging us to go for this gift. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Desire prophecy. Talks about the gift of tongues. I haven't got enough time to go into this in detail. But in terms of the gift of tongues, it is a gift. Some of us have it. Sometimes the church really gets very het up about it. Please don't. It is a gift that is for us to glorify God with, to sing out. It helps in prayer. It's a gift I use when I'm walking the dog. Some people look at me strangely, for all sorts of reasons. But we use it. And if it's a gift that you're interested in finding out more, then I'd encourage you to come and speak to me or your Connect group leader. But it's a gift we should use in our worship, in our prayers. But it's a gift we use to God. The gift of prophecy is a gift we use to edify, to build up the church. It's to build up each other. Dan said, is there something you can do for someone else? You can prophesy. You can prophesy because in verse 3 it says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. That's what prophecy is. Now, there are some people who have a special gift of prophecy and they see things and they hear things and they share them and they can get it wrong. Okay, I know prophets who have got things wrong. So whoever proclaims they're prophesying, we test it. We test what is being said. But sometimes people will give a prophecy, and sometimes our image of a prophecy, of a prophet, is a sort of the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, image. But I believe what this passage is talking about is the gift that God speaks to us that we can encourage, strengthen, and comfort each other. This is the gift of prophecy such that we hear what God is saying for one another and we then share those things with each other. So what was taking place this morning was the gift of prophecy. It was encouraging people to press in, to pursue God. And I want to see that more and more in our church. We can't whip these things up. We can't force them. They're judged by their fruit. You know, we see when prophecy is real, we will see the fruit of that prophecy when it's shared and when it's tested. But I want to think, and I'm going to finish with, I want us to think about this level of prophecy where we can encourage, strengthen and comfort one another. I want us as a church to flourish. Who here wants to be encouraged, strengthened or comforted? Marvellous. I'm looking for who doesn't, actually. Yeah. Someone at the back doesn't. Okay. Do come and see me afterwards. Of course we do. Of course we want to be encouraged, strengthened and comforted. And if we were all encouraging, strengthening and comforting each other, would we be a church that flourishes? Yes. Would we be a community so that if everyone comes through the door has the experience that Dan had of being encouraged, comforted, strengthened? You know, that's prophecy. But it's also when we can go a step further, we can be a bit bolder and we can ask God to give us a specific word or picture for someone else to encourage, strengthen or comfort them. And what does that do? It does just that. It says God is interested in that person. And sometimes it will unlock something. Sometimes it will be the word we need to hear at a particular time to unlock something in our lives. And we should always offer it on an open hand. When we go to someone, we don't go with, I really believe the Lord is telling you this. If someone comes to you like that, you just come and tell me and I'll have a quiet word with them. Because that's not how we do prophecy. We offer it. We say, look, I've been praying for you. And I believe that God may have this for you. And I offer it you on an open hand because you can take it or you don't have to. Yeah, if this is going to encourage, strengthen and comfort you, take it. If it isn't, I've probably got it wrong. And we need that level of grace in our prophecy because otherwise prophecy starts going wrong and you see that in churches. This is about encouraging, strengthening and comforting. And you know, Louise said, and I was going to say this is in my sermon, so it's all done already. If we don't use these gifts, they will not grow. If we don't use the gift of tongues, we won't grow in the gift of tongues. If we don't ask God to give us pictures and then have the boldness to share them, he'll stop giving us pictures. Why should he? We never share them. If you want to grow in any gift, whether it's evangelism, teaching, pastoring, use it. Use it if you want to grow in it. Okay, we're, I think, nearly at time. But what I want to do is, I want to encourage you to come tonight to our celebration because Helly is also going to be speaking on prophecy and pursuing God in prophecy. She's going to be continuing this. So come tonight, looking forward to what God is going to say to us through her. But the final sort of challenge is that I believe God wants us to give us words and pictures for each other, but also for people out there. And that's where it gets an even harder. You know, to go up to a stranger or a work colleague and say, look, I offer you this on an open hand, but I've been praying for you and I believe God would like to say this. And that's even harder, but it becomes easier when we do it here first. And that's the thing, that's why the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. If you go up to someone and sit in here, and if you're visiting, and I'm sorry, we want to encourage you as well. But if you go to someone here and encourage them, strengthen and comfort them, they know where you're coming from. Practice the gift here. Practice the gift in your small group so that you can take it into Cogs, Whitney and beyond. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I just want to encourage you to close your eyes. Now some people say, I've never had a picture. Never had a picture. I want you to imagine now your favourite holiday destination. Just have a look out of that window, of that view. Do you see it? That, my friends, is a picture. You have had a picture. Okay, now that was a picture that I put into your mind. But God will put pictures into your mind as you ask him. And I want you to think of someone. And it could be someone here. Or it could be someone at home. Or it could be someone at work. And I want you to think of someone that you want to encourage, strengthen, or comfort. And Lord, I pray right now, you would give everyone here words of encouragement, strengthening, and comfort for the people that they've just thought of. Pray you'd give them Bible verses. Pray you'd give them pictures. I pray you'd give them a sensation, a sense of something that they should talk to that person about tomorrow. Lord, we want to pursue you in this. We want to pursue you in the prophetic. We want you to speak to us so that we can speak to your world. Now, I've got some things as I was praying beforehand, and I offer you these on an open hand, and they could be wrong. But I believe there's someone here with a right ankle. Yeah, we've all got right ankles. Sorry, there's someone here with a right ankle where that was broken at one stage, possibly in a sports injury at school. And I believe the Lord wants to bring healing to that. It's always been a problem. It's uncomfortable. It's not a major problem, but it's uncomfortable. I believe someone here with a recently diagnosed kidney problem. I believe that the Lord wants to realign some broken bones. I believe there's maybe two or three people here who have had a broken bone in the past that never set properly. And the Lord wants to realign some broken bones. I believe there's someone here with a right shoulder injury, and it's a ligament injury, which means you can't raise your shoulder, your arm, sorry, above your shoulder particularly easily. And also, I believe there's someone here. Now I know there's someone with this condition, but I believe there's someone else as well who has just a problem with sort of floater in their right eye, so a vision problem in their right eye. Now, if any of those mean anything to you, and you don't have to say which one, would you just be bold and just stand up now? Okay, anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Please stay standing for a moment. Because we just want to pray for you. And so if you're just sitting next to these people, can you just stretch your hand out to them? And Lord, you know, what's going on and what you have done. And what's going on in these people's lives. I pray now you would heal them. Bring your healing. You know where they're standing. You know what they've responded to. Bring your healing now, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, comfort them, Lord. Pour your spirit out upon them. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for standing up, because that encourages me that when I was praying, I was, you know, I didn't know if anybody would stand up then. Yeah, I'm going out on a limb as well, but folks, I want to go out on a limb because I want to see more of God. I don't want to stay in the mundane. I want to see the miraculous, and it's only going to happen as we take risks, as we're willing to be bolder and we're willing to press out. I've gone on way too long. Someone also this morning had a picture of a roundabout. You don't know which turning to take. Don't decide until God makes it very clear. He knows the best way. That's why people are praying beforehand. They're praying for pictures for you that we might then pray with and for you. I want to encourage you we're going to finish now with worship. I think maybe if you do have a child in the children's work, it might be good to release the children's leaders, otherwise they may never come back, and that would be very bad. But please stand. I'm going to stay here afterwards. Normally I go up to by the church centre to say goodbye to folk and to particularly greet new people. But I'm going to stay here, and I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for you if you want to be bolder in this whole area of stepping out in the prophetic, of pursuing God in the prophetic. If you're going to get your children and want to come back, by all means do. If there's something going on that you need particular prayer for as well, prayer team, could you come up the front now, please? There will be people here are praying. I believe God wants to continue those healing things. So I know we prayed for you, but I'd encourage you, if one of those words was for you, to also to come and receive prayer. If you have any other healing need this morning, come and receive prayer. Let us pursue God. Let us press in to all that he has for us. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We pursue you.